to offer you this lesson from Unity of the Keys Spiritual Center. What does the power of zeal have to do with the parable of the talents? That's our talk title for today, and our church lady Eileen calls it the longest talk title in the world. I beg to differ. I think I could do one more. And so we've been exploring each month one of the 12 powers as identified by Charles Fillmore, co-founder of the Unity Movement. And due to a little interruption called Irma, we got a little bit behind on that exploration. And yet, it matched up perfectly to speak today about zeal as we're exploring the parable of the talents. Now, Charles Fillmore identified each one of the 12 powers, which we know are 12 expressions of the one presence and the one power, with a specific disciple and color. And as we heard through the month of October, that zeal is represented by the disciple Simon and the color orange. So what do we know of the disciple Simon? We don't know a lot. There were a lot of individuals during that period of time named Simon. Peter was once named Simon until his transformation and Jesus changed his name. Simon is referred to as the Zealot, Simon the Zealot. And that's not to be confused with the Zealot movement, which was 30 or 40 years later, which was quite intense and sometimes violent. We don't want to go there. This is not that. But apparently Simon was filled with zeal. And in my recent studies, I came to learn that the disciples are described even in the Quran, in the Muslim faith, not by name, but described as helpers to do the work of God. Isn't that beautiful? Helpers to do the work of God. So we might not know a lot about Simon, but what do we know about zeal? Well, we have the dictionary definition: zeal, passion, ardor, love, fervor, fire, avidity, devotion, enthusiasm, eagerness, keenness, appetite, relish, gusto, vigor, energy, intensity, and to the extreme, fanaticism. From Revealing Word by Charles Fillmore, he describes zeal as the inward fire of the soul that urges man, and we'll add women, onward, regardless of the intellectual mind of caution and conservatism. Zeal is the mighty force that incites the winds and the tides and the storms. It urges the planet on its course and spurs the ant to greater exertion. It is the urge behind all things. Zeal is the affirmative power, the impulse of existence. Its command is to go forward. And as described as one of the 12 powers, the power of zeal is the faculty of enthusiasm, intensity, and exuberance. It provides our inner urge to progress. It is our motivation to achieve. Its opposite is apathy. And so I brought some zeal today. Zeal. And we know it's the real thing because it's in an orange canister, the color of zeal, and it has a purple lid and stripe for spirituality. But it comes with some cautions that I'm going to share with you. It says caution, potential side effects of zeal, and that's in red, so we're going to pay attention to that. May result in increased levels of energy and enthusiasm for life. In not so rare cases, there have been reports of bliss and high degrees of overall satisfaction. Extreme periods of creativity and imagination in all areas of one's life has also been reported. A tendency to see the brighter side of situations may result. Some people also experience lower levels of lethargy and restlessness. Allergic reactions may include, but are not limited to, itching to get something accomplished. I had fun with this. Drowsiness at bedtime, resulting in deep, restful sleep and absolutely perfect blood pressure. As always, consult with spirit before diving off the high dive and becoming too zealous. Joy awaits you. Put that zeal right there. All right. So that's zeal. And today we're looking at the parable of the talents, which is a tradition here at Unity of the Keys. The parable of the talents is described in two of the synoptic gospels. It's described in Matthew 25, 14 through 30, and Luke 19, verses 12 through 28. And there are some variations to the story, but its essence is the same. And I'm going to summarize it this morning, although we are well familiar with the passage. In this passage, a wealthy individual, a wealthy master, is getting ready to take a trip. And he entrusts three of his servants with a great deal of money. They're referred to in Scripture as talents, which was a great deal of money at that time, more than one could possibly carry. He gives to the first servant five talents, to the second servant two, and to the third servant one. And we know he's wealthy because of what the talent represents. And he leaves on his journey. The first two servants know exactly what they're supposed to do. They have a relationship with the master, with the lord of the house, that is trustful. They're clear about their responsibility, and they go about to double the money that they are given. The third servant is living in fear and distrust in relationship with the master, is carrying this fear within them, and so buries the talent in the ground, does not even invest it, bless you, not even in the bank. So the master returns and is thrilled with his first and his second servant, praises them, celebrates them. And the part that is so difficult for us in Unity is the third servant is treated so harshly, is banished into darkness, punished for not having done as they were expected. And so we've struggled with this scripture. Scholars and historians have explored what could this mean. And of course, for those that see God as punishing, this is not so uncomfortable, but for those who watch that's not our understanding, nor is it what is described prior to this specific set of story. God is seen as so gentle and filled with compassion, and here we have something entirely different. And so historians and scholars look at what was going on at the time the story was told. Jesus knew he was leaving. And there is a consensus among many that he thought he was going to return very soon. And those he was speaking to were the remnant, the people that would still be alive when he would come back. And he was saying, take heed. Do what I have told you. Be good stewards of the word of God that I have shared with you. And perhaps there was some threat of judgment. I have a hard time with that. I think that was a redaction, an editor. And it was a warning to the Israelites that they had not been faithful to the covenant, to the commandments, which they had agreed upon as favored people. And so we look at this scripture as a message of stewardship, of being good stewards with that which we are given. Now, stewardship is an old-fashioned word, and I don't know what it does for you, but in my mind, it pictures something like this. steward as being restrictive, as being very conservative, as holding in. And I don't believe that that is the intention of that term. I believe when you add zeal, it opens our minds to what stewardship can be. And we think of ways that we can take care of our earth. That light bulb there is one of the energy savers there. Of our environment, of our economics. It opens ourselves to what stewardship can be. When we add zeal, the term that comes to my mind is being an entrepreneur. An entrepreneur known for creativity and imagination, known for organizing ventures, and when I think of ventures, I think of adventures, known for their originality and just opening to the divine flow of seeing everything from a higher viewpoint, not a constricted viewpoint, but a wide open, what might be possible? How might I be part of the flow of the universe? What can I give? And what creative different ways can I do that? Now, an entrepreneur, one definition of the entrepreneur is that they take all the risks and they enjoy all the rewards. The program that we have here at Unity of the Keys every fall is designed a little bit differently, in that Unity of the Keys assumes the risk. We have a bank. That bank is called Joe Leno. Hi, Joe. And Joe Leno will be at the back of the room for the next several weeks, and you can also stop here in the office. And the way it works is you come up with an idea. What might I like to create? What service might I like to give? What might I like to buy and repurpose and sell at the parable of the talent sale without any risk for the church is going to fund me? It frees us to really dip our toes into what might being an entrepreneur mean to me for those of us that this might not be as familiar as others. And what Unity of the Keys holds is there is no risk. When you go to Joe, he doesn't ask you what you're going to do with the money. He doesn't even ask you your name. And we consider this a totally risk-free endeavor, both for the church and for us. For we now have the freedom to be creative and imaginative, to be curious, and to be very courageous in how we move forward. Our beloved writer, Irma Bombeck, says, when I stand before God at the end of my life, I would hope that I would not have a single bit of talent left and could say, I used everything you gave me. What does zeal have to do with the parable of the talents? Everything. Say that with me. Everything. And it has to do with the way we live our life with enthusiasm, originality, authenticity, and from that higher viewpoint. I end today's talk with a beautiful poster that we found on Unity Worldwide website. It's from Charles Fillmore, The 12 Powers. Never repress the impulse, the force, the zeal welling up within you. For we know, without a doubt, that the force, spirit, is not only with us, but within each one of us. And we open our hearts and our minds and say, yes, let it well up and overflow. God bless you this beautiful day.